it means it's 1976, or it means Justin Garcia from the Bucks Radio Network is joining us, our Bucks buddy. And before we get to Justin talking Tausch off the ledge, because he's in panic nutquack mode. Justin, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. It sounds like I'm probably closer to Tausch than you, I'm all right so far.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's ease into that. How much money do you have in your wallet right now?
What's your social security number?
How much do you weigh?
Let me check, because what we discussed prior, I almost went through the same thing yesterday. I currently have $78 in my wallet.
Oh, big spender.
Are you happy about that?
No. I mean, I've had this, I've probably had like 85 or 90 a little bit ago, that it's taken like a month and a half to even shed that, $8 to $10. So I've had this
shed
forever.
Shed! You want to get rid of it?
Well, to an extent, yeah.
I mean, not give it away like Wooly is at his singles, wherever he's taken those. Gas station. Uh-huh. So wait, so how did you accumulate this much cash, and how much cash do you actually want in your wallet?
I want zero in my wallet. Actually, like $10. If I had a five and five singles, I think that's pretty much all you need for cash. I believe this. I had someone that owed me money for something, and they paid me in cash, which in this day and age is the worst thing ever, because then it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm too lazy to go to a bank and deposit like $120. So it just sits there, and I'll randomly think, well, maybe I'll use the cash when I go to this place, and then you come to find out they don't take cash. Or I run into the thing as well where if I don't have to go to an arena, I'm usually wearing joggers, and sometimes they may not have pants or pockets. So I don't want to pay with cash and have change, and then, like, well, what do I do with it?
Round up. You got to round up.
How much jogging are you doing, JG? Because if you're wearing joggers, you got to jog.
Like a fast walk jog. Yeah, I do a decent amount of it.
Okay. I didn't realize that was the case. All right, JG, we can talk cash and money, or Cash Middleton, or everything else. I was on the belief, even without Giannis, after the injury in Game 2, I thought, you know what, all I've been hearing about is the depth of this team and how good of a roster it is and veteran, and that the Miami Heat can't shoot, everything else, and then Saturday night happens. And now, for me, this is must win. You don't win this game, we're not beating the Heat. You joining my club?
So I'd rather go back to talking about the cash, if that's fine. No,
I know you would.
It's not great. I think here, you would say, in a 1-8 matchup, you should still be able to win 3 straight games as the 1 seed. Now, Giannis's status complicates that. What we've seen from this team in the first 3 games, to me, is the biggest deterrent there of that. I don't, at this point, feel confident saying, hey, if push comes to shove, this Bucks team is currently constructed can beat the Miami Heat 3 straight games. So as much as you hate to get to this point for a Game 4 in a 7-game series, it very much feels like a must-win game. And I think the Bucks are still the favorites for the game tonight. They're still the betting favorites for the series. I don't know how much of that is blind faith and optimism and looking at the 1-8 seed line and the regular season numbers, because we've seen two different teams in this series. But it's ultimately going to come down to defense for the Bucks. I mean, Miami has scored 373 points through 3 games in this series, which I don't need to tell you guys, is a lot. And it's a Heat offense that was not good in the regular season. To me, what jumps out the most, though, is obviously the three-point shooting, where Miami's shooting 50% through 3 games in this series. In the last 10 years, we've seen that happen 6 times. 4 of the previous 5 teams went on to the NBA Finals. So it's usually just the really, really good teams that do that. To me, the biggest issue is the open looks. And The Bucks have kind of shot right around what you would expect for their open threes, but a lot of that was lifted by game two. They took 30 open threes. There was a lot of ball movement. It was a lot of penetrate and kick against the Heat zone, and it resulted in 30 open looks from the outside. They hit 13 of them. You take that out of the mix, and the Bucks are underperforming there. They're still just hitting 33% of their open looks in this series. They shot 34% on those shots in the regular season. But Miami's hitting 55% of their open looks, and that was a team that was in the low 30s in the regular season. So it's not so much, hey, you got to do a better job of finding those looks for the Bucks. It's we got to make sure Miami is not continuing to get these easy threes.
All right, so how are you going to do that? Is that strictly or is it simply Giannis not being available and the defensive intensity, or why is Miami having so much success against this Bucks defense?
Well, I think a lot of it is Giannis. We talked about it last week that, the Reggie Miller point that Tyler Hero's absence was bigger. It's ridiculous because of Giannis's
it's really dumb.
Two-way play. Yeah. And I think you've seen it even more so. Obviously, part of that is once again, which we did not mention, Wesley Matthews is going to be out for the third straight game. So you take him out of the mix, you take Giannis off the floor, suddenly you're left with just one player you can throw out there on Jimmy Butler. And as good as a defender as Drew Holiday is, it's still a pretty decent matchup for Jimmy Butler because he's able to rise up over Holiday. Giannis prevents that from happening. So that's a huge part of it for the Bucks. But I think it really comes down to, and I know Pat Connaughton talked about this a little bit after game two, they just have to be more physical, and especially with the screen game that Miami used. 2 years ago, we talked about what Miami was doing. It was really Bam Adebayo setting those screens, sometimes moving screens, but setting those screens for a guy like Duncan Robinson on the dribble handoff, it's just very tough to defend because Bam is such a good screener. And you've seen the Bucks kind of get caught flat-footed for most of this series. As Connaughton said, our approach hasn't been great. Sometimes we're kind of halfway of, should we avoid the screen? Should we try to go through it? We're just not being physical enough. And he kind of hinted at, part of that is a couple of these dribble handoffs, we just got to run through Bam Adebayo. And even if it means picking up the foul, you got to play really hard on those screens and make sure Miami knows, if you're going to set these screens out there at the three-point line, that's fine, but we're going to run through you. And that's going to change how frequently you see that, especially if some of those shots stop falling.
All right, JG, Giannis didn't play Saturday. Where are we at? Is he playing tonight? How close is he? How close was he to playing Saturday? Give us as much Giannis stuff as you can give us.
Well, I know he wasn't close on game two when the update was made to the injury report. It seems like that was mostly just gamesmanship. I don't know where it's at. I mean, surprise, surprise, the Bucks are very tight-lipped with this. And I think the frustration for fans, as we've heard for two games now, optimism is the word that's been used quite a bit, and yet we still don't see Giannis on the floor here. So the big tell isn't going to come until about 4:45 today when the team goes through the usual shooting groups. It's always Giannis and Chris as the first two out on the floor. So, if Giannis isn't on the floor then, Jamal Collier or Eric Name will be out there to report on that. If he's not on the floor then, history indicates he's not playing. And I've seen a couple of people start to question, well, serves the Bucks right, or are the Bucks just trying to be too cute here and say, well, Giannis, you're not 100%. We think we can beat Miami without you, and let's just keep getting him some rest. I don't think that's the case at all. If you don't play in a playoff game, and especially somebody with the competitive drive that Giannis has, if you're not playing in a playoff game, it's serious. And, we saw in game one, when he came back on the floor, he didn't look like Giannis with the way that he was moving. A back is nothing to really take lightly here, and that's the tricky part is the wrist issue that he suffered earlier in the season. We knew that was going to be a matter of pain tolerance, and that's obviously not ideal to be dealing with a wrist issue on your shooting hand, but you can still play through that and you can still be effective defensively. If you're dealing with a lower back issue, it's going to be tough to move laterally. It's going to be tough to walk. You're going to have stretches where you're fine and then all of a sudden it hits you again and you got to stretch it out or lay down. So that's the issue that they're dealing with now. And I think a couple of times on Saturday, you could see, even on the bench, he looked like he was in discomfort at times. So to me, that's really the toughest part, is there's so much ambiguity with the back, and there's things that you could have done with other injuries and played, but maybe not been as effective or 100%. I just don't think you can do that when it's a back issue.
Talking with cashless Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. All right, Justin, what is the formula if he doesn't play tonight to win this game? You talked about the three-point shooting. We saw what they did in game two. What's amazing to me after watching all three games has been that they have a game where they can't, essentially, can't miss, and they're up by like 34 points at one point, and they've lost the other two games. It's not like this has been a series where it's been back and forth, and you lost one by a couple points, and then you lost another one. Like, what's the formula tonight to win a close game if they're not shooting the lights out like they did in game two?
They scored 52 points in the paint in game two, and they scored just 36 in that disaster that was game three. And game one was a very similar story as well, where that was one of the noticeable things. Miami came out, controlled the paint, and then that started to develop threes. The Bucks eventually got to, I think, 44 or 46. But, you know, in game two, they started feeding Brook Lopez early, and the three-pointers resulted from that, from Jrue Holiday and his penetrating kick against the Heat zone, and from Jrue Holiday using the size advantage, because the way Miami chose to defend the Bucks in the early going was, you know, they were putting Max Strus onto Jrue Holiday and shifting things around defensively. So the Bucks said, okay, if you're going to do that, we have a pretty sizable advantage there. We're going to take advantage of it with Brook Lopez, with Bobby Portis. And that really kind of opened everything up for the shooting. Miami changed their starting lineup and put Kevin Love there, not so much for defensive purposes, because even if you have Kevin Love and Bobby Portis, that's a matchup the Bucks would love and are going to take, or on Brook Lopez. It was more so, to me, offensively, and what Kevin Love can do as a passer and getting the ball on those entry-level passes to a guy like Jimmy Butler. So if you're the Bucks, you have to just continue to pound the ball in there and get it to Brook Lopez, get Bobby Portis's mid-range going, and wait for the three-point shot to develop. Jrue Holiday, to me, the other thing that really stood out from game two to three, he had 27 assists through the first two games of that series. He had zero assists at halftime in game three. And he started great offensively, hitting his first four shots. But especially without Giannis, a lot of the Bucks' success offensively is going to be predicated on Jrue Holiday getting into the lane and finding open guys on the perimeter, or getting a dump off to Brook Lopez or Bobby Portis around the rim.
So they don't have Tyler Hero. Now they don't have Victor Oladipo. Do those things, how much of an advantage, if at all, does that play for the Bucks? Because we're talking about Jimmy Butler, we're talking about Bam Adebayo. Like, do those absences, regardless of what Reggie Miller may say, how much does that help, you think?
Did Reggie Miller say the Victor Oladipo injury is bigger than Giannis?
not to my knowledge, no.
Look, Victor Oladipo, he was starting to make somewhat of an impact. I mean, obviously he is not one of the 10 best players in this series, but he didn't play at all in game one. He's had years of dealing with injuries, and it did seem like the second half of game two, and then for stretches in game three, he was starting to find something and be an impact guy that could push the pace for Miami and give them a little bit of a bench lift. The issue it causes for the Heat is all of a sudden that backcourt is very, very thin, where you are now going to have to lean on Kyle Lowry. You're going to have to lean on Gabe Vincent. And I know he had two big games against the Bucks earlier this season in January. Outside of that, any Heat fan would tell you Gabe Vincent has not been that good this season. So if you're the Bucks, it takes away one somewhat reliable guy for that second unit. And it just really puts the onus on, look, we're going to need Max Strus to beat us. We're going to need Bam Adebayo to have a big game. Because I have to believe part of the adjustment and game plan for the Bucks isn't so much moving Holiday off of Jimmy Butler, but it's going to be giving Holiday even more help and saying, okay, maybe we'll flash some doubles and play a little more aggressive on Jimmy Butler and say, look, I don't care if we're leaving a guy like Gabe Vincent open or whoever it is, Kevin Love even, those are the guys that are going to have to hit shots and beat us. It's not going to be Jimmy Butler scoring 35 points again.
All right, JG, you got to put your hard-earned $78 in cash on tonight's, or really on the series, but really tonight's game, I think, is going to be the decider. You go a nut whack, never underestimate the heart of a champion, that the Bucks figure this out, or is it panic mode and that this Bucks window is closing, closing, closing? Which way are you going?
All right, well, so what was the acronym?
Don't. He puts a W in there that doesn't even exist. It's like it's supposed to be a silent W, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, couldn't you just call it the Rudy T?
Yeah, that's where
it came from.
Where it started. Yeah. R.I.P. Rudy T. Yep.
Yeah, it's probably better than Nutwack. Look, I guess maybe. Just...
Isn't that what Dylan Brooks did?
It's up there.
LeBron?
Yeah. We've seen it a couple of times in this playoff. Maybe it's famous last words. I've seen this team play well through adversity in the past. And, I mean, maybe it was just 1 year. But in 2021, they had a lot of these moments. Obviously, you had Giannis, but you were down 50 to the Brooklyn Nets. You're down 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets, who was maybe the best team constructed to not win a title. And what you had to do coming back against the Atlanta Hawks without Giannis, coming back from 2-0 against the good Phoenix Suns team. So the long story short, we've seen this team exceed in the past when their back is against the wall. So until I see the complete flame out, I am going to choose to believe in this team. I mean, there are clear adjustments to make, as we just talked to. It's not a case of, well, we've got no answers here, and even without Giannis. So I'm going to side with Vegas and still believe this team will make the adjustments and still gut out this series. Now, whether or not Giannis returns, to me, is the bigger question and what that means for the rest of this pack, assuming you can get past the Miami Heat. Because I'll say this, if you do, and you don't want to look ahead, but if you can pull this out and beat the Miami Heat, which is crazy to say in a 1-8 matchup, I really like, assuming Giannis is healthy, you have a very favorable draw, assuming it's the New York Knicks in the second round, who are playing well. Jalen Brunson looks really good. The defense has been very good. But that's a very good matchup for the Bucks. So if you can get through this, things will start to shift, you would have to assume. The other thing is, it's every other day from here on out. We mentioned the back and the uncertainty there. That's not ideal. And with the way that the rest of the series have gone, you would assume this feels like it's going 7 games. And if that's the case, you win the series, you're going to be starting 2 days later, early the following week as well. So you're going to be right back on that train of very little rest and playing every other day.
JG, you're always money to us, buddy. We appreciate you. Thanks.
All right. See you guys.
That is the great Justin Garcia. You'll hear him along with Dave King.
Nutwack. So he's a nutwack guy.
Yeah, he agrees with me. The hua is a little confusing.
Are you going nutwack? I'm going nutwack, too. I'm not underestimating. Until they're out, I'm still up, but I am panic mode with my nutwack.
I will tell you what I'm thinking for tonight next. It's Will D. and Tausch.